Good morning, and welcome to Simply Politics from China. It's Sunday, April 28th. On today's show, the Chinese foreign minister opposes the forced displacement of Palestinians in Gaza, while Russia bombs Ukraine's railway network and energy facilities. Plus, Israel's political parties remain deeply divided 200 days after the outbreak of the war. Next week's blockbuster schedule includes the Politburo meeting, Warren Buffett's shareholder meeting, the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision, and the U.S. Treasury's quarterly refinancing. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Politics from China. We start off with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi's recent interview with Al Jazeera, where he expressed his concerns about the ongoing conflict in Gaza, stating that it has crossed the bottom line of modern civilization. He emphasized the need for urgent action from the international community. Here to discuss this further is our correspondent. Can you tell us more about Wang Yi's stance on this issue?
Certainly, David. Wang Yi has been quite vocal about the situation in Gaza. He believes that the historical injustice suffered by the Palestinian people needs to be corrected promptly, as this is the fundamental solution to resolving the conflict. He also stressed the importance of promoting a ceasefire as soon as possible.
And how does China plan to contribute to resolving this conflict?
China is committed to working with the international community to mobilize all parties towards implementing a ceasefire and ensuring access to aid. Wang Yi firmly opposes the forced relocation of Palestinian civilians and collective punishment against the people of Gaza. He also emphasized the need to prevent the negative impact of the conflict from continuing to spill over and to prevent the regional situation from spiraling out of control.
What does Wang Yi believe is the key to achieving lasting peace in the region?
Wang Yi believes that lasting peace can only be achieved by addressing the legitimate security concerns of all parties and by ensuring justice for the Palestinian people. He also pointed out that the root cause of the escalation in the Red Sea lies in the Gaza conflict.
What did Wang Yi say about the humanitarian situation in Gaza?
Wang Yi described the situation in Gaza as a humanitarian disaster that should not have happened. He mentioned that the conflict has caused over 100,000 casualties and displaced millions of people in the past 6 months. He called on the international community to take urgent action.
Thanks for the report from China, Celeste. Shifting our focus to the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, Russia has reportedly escalated its strikes against Ukrainian railway lines, aiming to disrupt military supplies, particularly those from the United States. This move is seen as a precursor to launching new attacks. Here to discuss this further is our correspondent. Can you tell us more about Russia's strategy?
Certainly, David. According to an unnamed Ukrainian security official cited by AFP, these intensified strikes are traditional measures taken before launching major attacks. The goal is to paralyze the supply and transportation of military materials. Russia has also targeted energy facilities in three Ukrainian regions and claimed to have shot down 68 Ukrainian drones over its territory.
What has been the impact of these attacks on Ukraine's railway infrastructure?
The Ukrainian National Railway Company reported that Russia attacked railway infrastructure in the Donetsk, Kharkiv, and Cherkasy regions. In the Donetsk region, three railway company employees were killed. An attack on a train station in Balaklia, Kharkiv, injured 13 people, including three railway workers. Just last week, the Sumy train station in the northern region was also damaged in an attack.
And what about the civilian casualties in these attacks?
Unfortunately, civilians have also been caught in these attacks. For instance, an attack on the Kramatorsk train station in eastern Ukraine in April 2022 resulted in the death of dozens, mostly civilians, trying to flee the fighting. In the recent bombing of the city of Dnipro and its surrounding areas, one employee of the Ukrainian Railway Administration was killed and seven others were injured.
How has Ukraine responded to these attacks?
Ukraine has been actively defending its territory. It claims to have shot down 21 out of 34 Russian missiles. However, the repeated bombings of its railway network over the past 2 years have posed significant challenges to its military supply and transportation.
Thanks for the report from China, Abby. Shifting our focus to the Middle East, 200 days into the ongoing Gaza war, Israel's political parties appear to be deeply divided. This division is in stark contrast to the unity that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tried to project at the start of the conflict. Our correspondent is here to discuss this further. Can you tell us more about the current state of Israel's political landscape?
Certainly, David. The ongoing war, the failure to return all detainees held by the Palestinian Resistance Movement, and the inability to achieve declared military objectives have all contributed to internal divisions within Israel. Relations between the parties in the ruling coalition and the leaders of the emergency government have become controversial, and protests demanding the return of Israeli detainees have escalated.
How has this affected public discourse and the media in Israel?
Partisan polarization and political divisions have once again become the focus of attention in public discourse and the Israeli media. It feels like a return to the situation before the Al-Aqsa flood operation began on October 6 last year.
What issues are causing these divisions?
One of the main points of contention is the issue of recruiting Orthodox Jews into the Israeli army. This has evolved into a coalition crisis that could lead to the disintegration of Netanyahu's government. Jewish religious parties, keen to maintain their role in coalition power, are seeking to reach an understanding and postpone the issue of Orthodox recruitment until after the war.
Thanks for the report from China, Bella. Looking ahead, next week's agenda is packed with significant events, including the Politburo meeting, Berkshire Hathaway's annual shareholders meeting, the Fed's interest rate decision, and the U.S. Treasury's quarterly refinancing plan. Our correspondent is here to discuss this further. Can you tell us more about what to expect?
Certainly, David. As usual, the Politburo meeting will be held at the end of April. This is a key event where important decisions regarding China's economic and political direction are made. In addition, the Fed will announce its interest rate decision, which is always closely watched by markets worldwide. The US Treasury will also announce its refinancing plan for the next quarter.
What about the Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting?
The annual Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting is a major event in the financial calendar. Investors from around the world will be keen to hear insights from Warren Buffett and his team. In addition, several major companies, including Apple, Amazon, Qualcomm, and AMD, will release their earnings reports, which could impact market movements.
What key economic data should we be looking out for?
There are several key data releases to watch. China's April PMI data is due to be released and is expected to remain in the expansion range, indicating a recovery in China's economic prosperity. In the US, the April non-farm payrolls report will provide a new reference for observing the state of the US labor market. Economists expect non-farm payroll growth in April to slow down but remain strong. We'll also be keeping an eye on the Eurozone's April CPI and Q1 GDP data.
Thanks for those insights, James. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Politics from China. We'll see you back here tomorrow.